We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified.
If you are visiting with us today, I just want to give a quick introduction to myself and my family. My name is Jansen Lorch. My wife, Kaylee, is sitting halfway back there on the left side from my direction. And we have been here since 2019, beginning with a pastoral internship right out of college. And then in fall of 2023, if my memory serves me correct, the church called me to be their assistant pastor. And so we've been doing that, gladly serving here at the church since then. And in May, I graduated from Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary. And all along, the church has been behind us and encouraging us in our desire and burden to serve the Lord by planting churches in northern Chile. And so that is our desire, our burden. And the Lord has been giving us the ability to go in that direction the last few years through preparation and training. And now some of that culminating to us joining a gospel mission of South America. And before I get into that, I just want to give a huge thank you to our church family. We were gone for almost 4 weeks, and probably mostly a sacrifice for Pastor Matt, who had to pick up the load of teaching Sunday evenings and other things throughout the week that I normally do. And so I'm grateful to him, grateful for you guys allowing us to be gone for that long. And I hope today will serve as a little bit of a blessing to at least let you know what we were able to accomplish in that time while away. And so, like I just mentioned a moment ago, we left on June 8th and went to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where the headquarters of Gospel Mission of South America is located. And we were there for 2 weeks, the first week primarily for what is called candidate school or candidate orientation. It's a time for those who have applied to the mission to be trained in the history of the mission, kind of the logistics of the missions, how it operates, even down to the financial side, health insurance, all those kinds of things that you might not think about but that are important and are really their purpose. Their purpose is not a sending agency. That is the job, the responsibility of the church. They are facilitating local churches and sending missionaries. And so they emphasize that, and I want to emphasize that you are our sending family, our sending church. They are just facilitating that so that you don't have to carry that burden of, you know, how do we get finances down to the Lorches, or how do we help with health insurance, or that kinds of thing, those kinds of things. So that is their aim. That is their purpose. We were there for 2 weeks. The first week, well, let me backtrack just for a moment. So how did we get to this point? Well, number one, in order to apply, you need a sending church, a home church, and that is you guys, Fellowship Bible Church. And then we needed to complete an application that included things like our salvation testimonies, kind of our spiritual state, maturity, 7 references. I don't know if you would think of that for something like this. Seems like you're applying for a government job or something. But they want to get a nice idea of your background, and so a number of you in the church helped with that, and some from our past at different churches or the seminary. And then a number of other short answer questions about our philosophy of ministry, philosophy of church membership, those kinds of things. And then a doctrinal statement, which we had to submit to the mission. And then candidate orientation. The first week, I'm not going to read all that. You can kind of just glance over it. These are some of the topics that we covered. It was very intensive in the sense of we were there in the morning all the way through the afternoon, and then around dinner time we had, you know, free time and could just do fellowship into the evening. And this was led primarily by the director, Tom Gibbons, but then also David and Christy, whom we spent the latter half of our trip with, were also there. And David was there to help with some of the training. He sat in many of the latter ones about church planting, missions, marriage, and family. And then Tom's wife, Debbie, and David's wife, Christy, also sat in for some of those sessions as well, because course, Kaylee was there in those sessions. And then there was another young lady, Patricia Gosin. You may be familiar with that name. She was also there for candidate orientation. So there were three of us there, which was somewhat of a record high, I think, in recent history, to have a couple and another individual. And then if you want to count in Hannah and Lorenzo Rossi, who joined just in the last few years, most of you might not know them, but maybe have heard the name. The second week of orientation, also a few more things that happened. These were also when Pastor Matt and his wife Naomi were down there as well, which was, one second, Becky, which was a real blessing to have them with us, and they were down there because he's on the U.S. board. I was allowed and encouraged to sit on in some of those meetings, which was a real blessing to kind of know some of the ins and outs of what's going on in the mission. And that is a real kind of blessing and a real just good thing, I think, about Gospel Mission of South America is that, you know, these meetings are not, you know, behind closed doors where no one's allowed in. They welcome any missionaries who are in the area who want to come to sit in. You know, it's open to the mission family to be a part of. Of course, if there's sensitive things, maybe, you know, they might have to step out for a moment, but most things are very open, and I appreciate that. Becky, you had a question.
On the prior
yes.
On Wednesday, what does that
do? Yes, that is, if you, well, I guess I thought I had it earlier. Oh, it is. So on Tuesday, principles in practice. That's just a shortened version of that. So that's kind of like the bylaws of the mission, some of those kind of nitty-gritty things that are for us to know and abide by. If you have questions, I want to hear them. Just so you know, I'm going to leave probably the last 10 minutes or more for Q&A. So don't worry if I kind of skip over you. It's because I want to hear your question, but we'll try to reserve them mostly for the end. And then Thursday evening, around 10 o'clock in the evening, David and Christy, who I'll show a picture of in a moment, they are the missionaries we spent our 2 weeks, the latter 2 weeks with. They and their son Lucas and us four got in cars and drove to Miami around 10 o'clock in the evening. And because we had a flight at 12:45 in the morning to fly to Lima, Peru. And so we laid our kids down a little bit before that, tried to get quick hours of sleep and then in the car and off because we knew they wouldn't sleep too much that evening. And so our travels extended from Thursday night until Friday night at 11. And maybe if you were getting some of the updates, we had a 7-hour layover in Lima that was not expected. We expected a short layover, but more like an hour and a half, 2 hours. But because of immigrations, we were in a new terminal that they had just built. And you know, like a new store when it comes in, and like it's just kind of chaos, and no one really knows what's going on. We asked I think it was a police officer or some guard, like, you know, where is this? And he was like, to be honest, I have no idea. Like, just, you know, still figuring things out. And so we spent, David and Christy spent, I think, almost 3 hours standing in line for immigrations. We got the kind of quick lane because they take very much care of kids and pregnant women there. Not like here in the States. I'll be completely transparent about that. They were very kind, very generous. Kind of ushered us into a special line. And so we got through a little quicker, but then kind of had to wait for David and Christy. So we could have made the flight, but we would have left David and Christy behind, and we did not want to do that, you know, us and our limited Spanish speaking. And we wanted to spend that time with them. So that's candidate orientation in a nutshell. Here's a few pictures of our time down there in Florida. The girls made some new friends there from the mission family. And it's hard to see, but in the bottom right picture, every day we spent at Tom and Debbie Gibbons' home eating meals. And Heidi Mullen is also lives there. Actually, that's kind of her side of the house that we had meals with in there. Kids' table there with Lucas Flink and Hannah Rossi there, one of the mission candidate appointees. And some fellowship there that we enjoy in the bottom left there, just in Tom and Debbie's home. one of the evenings, we also walked down or drove down to kind of the beach area or boardwalk or along a river and got to walk that. That was really nice. That's that picture kind of in the top left there. Patricia Goosen is the one there on the top left standing next to us. She was the other candidate joining the mission. And so we spent a lot of hours sitting around those tables there and a really good time. One of the special things that we got to do while at candidate orientation is on Wednesday night of the second week, the day that they officially accept us into the mission, which happens at the mission location. And normally that evening there's a kind of a chapel session and they formally welcome us in with the mission family. But Mr. Gibbons, Tom, had the idea of hosting it at their church, which is First Baptist Church of Coconut Creek. And the pastor there, Pastor Alley, was thrilled about the idea and welcomed us to come. And so you might have been able to watch that on the live stream, and that was a real blessing. I wish all of you could have been there as our sending church, because you're really the reason we were able to be there that week. But hopefully you maybe were able to catch that or still can. So that was a real blessing. We got to share kind of our burden for ministry, our calling, how we got to this point with the church family there. And then Pastor Matt was able to give a charge to us appointees and really to the whole church as well. And so that was a blessing. The other blessing was that the man standing in the kind of the floral shirt there next to Pastor Matt is Dr. John Rinker. And he is one of our professors from Appalachian Bible College. And he was also asked and called to be on the board, the U.S. Board of Gospel Mission of South America. And that's kind of special for us because this is a person that trained us, kind of mentored us as a couple when we were engaged and really cared for us. And so to have him now a part of our future ministry is just a real blessing to us. So then our visit to Arica, Chile, extended from June 20th to July 4th, kind of the second part of our trip there. I told you a little bit about our travels. This is David and Christy Flink, and they have been serving on the field for, oh, I should know this now. Do you know, David? Or David, sorry, Pastor. 15 years more? 17 years, okay. Most of their ministry time having been in Antofagasta, Chile. I spent some time there with them back in my college years, 10 weeks with them. Now they are serving in Arica, Chile. And they have three other children, but they're in college now, and so it's just Lucas at home. And actually, one of the reasons they were up in the States is because their middle son, Ben, got married. And so they were there for that. And then at candidate orientation and then flew down with us. They've been there since November of 23 now in Arica, Chile. And they, Lord willing, will be our future co-workers on the field, at least for the first term or so. And they're a real blessing to us, and we really love them. Some of our travels, tried to keep the girls busy on the plane. Claire was enthralled with watching the TV there. The things you let them do when they're on a plane for, you know, 7 hours, you know. So Arica is located on the northern border of Chile, right next to Peru, about 35 minutes away, about 15 kilometers, and then Bolivia to the east. It's an ideal situation because there's influence from Peru, there's influence from Bolivia, and looking long-term with a long-term vision, Arica could be kind of a base for someone like David to be in, who's the field director, to encourage or receive missionaries in the future and help them perhaps even move to places like Peru or to Bolivia, and for them to come back if they have to come back to, you know, reapply for a visa or something like that, or just need help with paperwork. That's kind of an ideal base and location for them to work out of, both now, of course, with the church plant that they're in, but also in the future. Even ourselves, you know, we may eventually move into Peru, but then David and Christy will be very close by. He can temporarily function as the field director for Peru because, you know, if we only have one missionary family there, we don't really need all of the inner workings of a field director at that point. And so located in northern Chile on the Pacific coast and in the Atacama Desert. So northern Chile is mostly desert. It's not what you maybe think of when you think of Chile, because maybe you think about the Patagonia area, which is the southern part of Chile. Islands, you know, green, that kind of a thing, mountains. This is more foothills and desert in the northern part. Arica has 240,000 people. Does anyone know the population of Ann Arbor? Kevin, you look like maybe you. It's actually, well, maybe with students, but I think just residents, it's around 126,000 or something like that. And I think that's not including U of M students. So, yes, much more with them. So think about double the size, if we don't include U of M students, double the size of Ann Arbor. Like I said a moment ago, it's bordered by the Atacama Desert on the east, with the foothills traveling back. You eventually would get to the Andes Mountains. Before then, you'd get into Bolivia if you're in the north there, or Argentina if you're in the south. And then the Pacific Ocean on the other side, which we did get to see. I think twice we went down there, and our girls loved splashing in the water, even though it's winter down there. I don't know if you thought about that. It's winter there. But winter for them is about 60 degrees, 65 degrees. So our girls thought nothing of it. Everyone was mortified that our girls were in shorts. So we tried to not offend them and put jackets on them, even when they, you know, really didn't want them on. Or the one time when we were down there, they were in bare feet because they were so sandy, and this grandma saw that, like, Adderay's blanket wasn't covering her right. So she went to move it and saw her bare feet, and she, like, jumped back, and she's like, oh, my. And like, it's okay. They'll survive. In Arica, there are two valleys that go out from the city, the Azapa Valley and then the Yuta Valley. We got to see a little bit of both. We drove up more of the Yuta Valley. Very just stunning to look at, because you have the sand, and then you have all of this green at the bottom, the vegetation, because there's a river that flows down all the way into Arica and then into the Pacific Ocean there. And most of the vegetables, most of the crops that you find shopping in Arica come from this or the other valley. That's kind of unique, because where I was before in Antofa, they could really grow nothing. Most of it had to be imported or brought down from Arica or a city like this that has the ability to grow crops like this. And just very beautiful to look at and to experience there. And corn, you know, all kinds of vegetables, which I'll show a picture of a moment in one of the markets that we were able to visit. This is the agro. Think of like an open air kind of market with a roof over it for shade, but it's not like in a confined building. You can walk around, you can buy vegetables, fruits, technology, material for sewing, glassware, you know, any kind of thing really. And much at a cheaper price than you would find at like a, you know, quote unquote Walmart or something like that. And you can buy in bulk as well, and it's a little cheaper that way. Those things on the top right, I know it's kind of dark there, but those are actually like, you know, when you go to Walmart and you can buy a bag salad or Kroger, that's their version of a bag salad. It's in water, you drain it, and you eat the vegetables there. Their salads are much more simple than ours. Like, we put on all the condiments and all the toppings and dressing. Theirs is more just like some vegetables, some olive oils, maybe some salt, and that's it. So you can buy flowers there, seasonings. This top right picture is kind of their goodwill, if you want to call it that, but it's you pretty much dig and you find what you want. It's not organized by size at all, really. It's kind of a free-for-all. So if you're into that kind of thing and you want to spend the time doing it, that's fine. If you have two little kids in tow, it's maybe not the best place to try to find, you know, 4T clothes or something like that. The bottom right is the entrance. It's very sad, though, because right at the entrance there is, it's kind of dark there, but it's an image of Mary. So it's a place of prayer to Mary. And that's some of the Roman Catholic influence that you'll see. Very sad, very lost. A little bit more of the same place there, the Agro. And then we did a little bit of tourism throughout the week, a little driving around. Pharmacies are all kind of individual thing. There's no such thing as, like, you know, you go to Kroger and there's a pharmacy in there. That's not a thing. You have to find a pharmacy that you like in town. So there's dozens of them. The top left picture, which is small there, of Adderley and Clara, that's at what's called Jumbo. So your kind of typical grocery store there. They have another one called Lider, which is their Chilean Walmart. I mean, it's owned by Walmart. It has a little Walmart symbol, and that's their Walmart, which I think is the one on the right there. That's their international section, so you can find some really expensive things from the States there if you want. A few more things throughout the city. I don't know if you noticed in the right picture there, there's kind of like some damage. I don't know if it was one of those cranes, but a crane fell down through that building. That's a gym there, actually. And then some of the beauty of Arica, even though it's mostly desert, there's still some amazing plants that grow, and it's just very, very beautiful, God's creation. I threw this in just for fun. Anyone know what this might be? It is a golf course. This is their version of a golf course in the desert. So the lines are the fairway. The black there is the putting green. They lay oil down. I know we would not do that in the States, you know, pour oil on the ground. But they tamp it down so it's a flat, hard surface. That's the greens. The trees are, like, out of bounds. So if you hit into there, you gain a stroke. I don't think you can tell, but there's some blue rocks. That is the river. So if you hit it in the water, that's also, you know, a penalty too, even though there's no water there, just the blue rocks. So if you're into golfing, I think you can play for like $10, 18 holes. So pretty good deal. In the desert, it means dust, dust, dust. I don't know if you can tell on Clara's feet. They are black. And, you know, in the city, it's very much city, so you don't really have a property. You have a garage in your house. But the garage is usually pretty nice, maybe tile, kind of tiling on the garage floor. So they use that for their church services, but our girls use that as their playground in the week, during the weekday. But, I mean, you imagine barely ever any rain, so dust just accumulates. You know, here it might accumulate, but then the rain kind of washes it away. And I told Pastor Matt this last week. It really gave a picture of, you know, why in the New Testament there was foot washing so much. I mean, we probably wash their feet sometimes 5 or 6 times a day to avoid, you know, tramping too much dust onto the rugs and stuff like that. It's just basic practice there. I mean, maybe you should wear shoes, obviously, but trying to keep shoes on our girls' feet every time they come in and out was, like, not worth it. So just wash the feet. Chile has 18.7 million people. Arica itself has 240,000, like we said. This is the Morro, which is really just a mountain outcropping by the ocean there. To me, it's a picture of the need for both, you know, churches that are built on solid ground, the truth of God's word, but it's also a sad image because there are many, if I can just keep it in simple terms, who have taken their life off of that as well. And it demonstrates the lostness and the sadness, the depressing lives that people live when they don't have Christ. And so there's kind of a positive and a negative image there, in my mind at least, of the great need for strong, sound churches because of the lostness of those there. Part of that is because upwards of 70%, and maybe more, are Roman Catholic. That's a huge influence in the country of Chile. You see it all over, cathedrals and parishes. This one is in Arica. We saw this. We actually were able to go into it. Tons of images on the walls, you know, Mary in kind of an encased glass thing that you can pray to, saints, things like that. So they are ensconced in their Roman Catholicism, although many, like here in the States, are leaving religion in general, and so there's a growing number of non-religious, atheistic, agnostic people in the younger generations. less than 18% evangelical. I think that's more on the high side. And when I say evangelical, don't think, you know, Baptistic or just very conservative Bible preaching. You know, this could include charismatic churches, Pentecostal churches, you know, kind of the whole gamut, those who may not even be preaching the true gospel, or at least a watered-down version, preaching the prosperity gospel, those kinds of things, you know, preaching or teaching sign gifts, you know, all those healings, those kinds of things. So, you know, we're using this term very broadly, which means the number of actual Bible preaching sound churches is much, much, much smaller in Chile. And because sadly, yeah, many of the evangelical churches preach a prosperity gospel and are charismatic in their teaching and doctrine. And many have left that and even come to churches like that missionaries from GMSA have planted, and others from Roman Catholic backgrounds as well. 5%, this is a rough estimate, are other religions. There's Jehovah's Witness. There's, of course, Mormons who are going down there on their missionary trips. You know, they're all required to do, I think, 2 years of a mission trip. So we saw them walking around. In fact, David noted that many of them just kind of stand on the street corner and don't even approach people. You know, so they're just kind of, you can tell they're just doing their deed. And in some ways, you know, you're kind of glad because at least they're not propagating their false teaching, but it's sad because you can tell there's no joy for them. You know, they're very somber, just kind of walking around and not engaging with the people much, not trying to learn the culture, understand them at all, just kind of give their message and leave, and demonstration that they are not, you know, they're not in Christ. They don't have true joy, true hope. But there are many, this is a Mormon church that I took a picture of, many Mormon churches on ideal properties, you know, busy corners, you know, trying to draw attention. They have the money from somewhere to be able to buy that property and to build on it. And they're very, you know, they stand out. I mean, they're not your typical building. They look very much either Mormon or just, you know, Western in the building structure itself. They kind of stick out. And then, as I mentioned, increasingly non-religious as well. I mean, secularism is setting in, you know, wokeism, those kinds of things. People are just not interested, even in their heritage of Roman Catholicism. Another demonstration of the Roman Catholic influence, along with the indigenous traditional beliefs, because there are indigenous people there from Bolivia, from Peru, from Chile. And so you have some of these folk religions that are now kind of meshing or combining with Roman Catholicism, what we might call syncretism, so that a part of these festivals of dancing are things like praying to Mary or praying to other saints. So it's just kind of an amalgamation of Roman Catholicism, folk religion, and just complete lostness. And one of the carnivals is this one here, the Carnival of the Andean Tradition, about the strength of the sun is basically what that is. That's a rough translation. But you can see the colorful garbs that they wear, the moro in the background, the top left there. Very loud music. Could you, this is a video, Jack, could you turn the sound on and press enter there? In their practicing, they're standing there before Mary, kind of a presentation, a form of worship to her. Just so sad. This is a video that I took, what we saw while we were there. And so Chile has still a great need for gospel preaching churches. I can't emphasize that enough. You know, it's maybe not the 1040 window, but there's a great need. You know, we think of all of, you know, even just in the 20, 30 miles around us, you know, we can number many good churches, you know, even if they're not exactly like us, you know, that preach the gospel, that are faithful to the word, you know, a seminary close by. They do not have that there in Chile. The Good Bible Institute is in the very southern part of Chile. And you know how long Chile maybe is, you know, almost spans at least 2/3 of the country or of the continent of South America. And so there's still a great need for gospel preaching churches. And so our mission is to exalt Christ by planting healthy, reproducing churches in northern Chile through evangelism, discipleship, and leadership training. So I want to spend now some time and tell you about the church plant that is ongoing there. When we get there, we're not stepping into a new plant necessarily. It's somewhat established. The Flinks have been there since 2023, began in a rental home where they started Bible studies and evangelism. And then I cannot remember now, actually, when the mission purchased the home they're in now. Sometime in the last year, I know that. A church plant does not have to begin by building a church building. I hope we know that, right? You can worship in the park. They did that during COVID. In fact, this is when they were in Antofa. I think it was here when they were in Arica. They began to be known as the Church of the Canopies. Maybe this was in Antofa because it was during COVID. Yeah, because their church met at parks or at the beach and used like those canopies you might find at, you know, sports games or whatever. And so people would be like, oh, that's the Church of the Canopies. And that was cool to me because it demonstrated, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, people were gathering and people were noticing, and that's what's important. And so they met in their rental home inside. Now they're in a mission home that was purchased by the mission. They live there, but also they hold their services in the garage. And they renovated it some so that it looks pretty nice. And here's some of the families that have been coming. This is Jose and Sara. We were able to meet them, a wonderful couple, believers. There's another family as well, Paula and Miguel, and they have a large family. I think actually one of their sons is missing who came and visited while we were there. That was nice, with his, I think it was either fiance or girlfriend. And just wonderful, dear folks. My heart wishes we could have spoke with them more, but our limited Spanish, you know, kept us from that. But we would do things like Google Translate and try to have some communication or put together a few sentences, and they really loved us and were very welcoming. So as you see these faces, I encourage you to think of them, even if you can't remember their names, and pray for them. Pray for the church plant going on there. There's a few more folks. I won't try to name them all now. I frankly still am working on the names. And now they live in this city, which on the right-hand side, one story, at least for right now. On the right side is the garage entrance where they meet. And the red pinpoint there on the left on the map is where that home is located in the city of Arica, kind of the southeast corner. And so here's where they meet, in their garage. It's a simple setup with a canopy to keep out the dust and rain, although it barely rains. They have a TV there to be able to have the words of songs up on the screen and set up the chairs every week, take them down every day or after every service. And it's simple, but it's focused on the Word of God, preaching and singing and fellowship. Here's another video. If Jack, you want to play that. The nice thing about songs is you have the words up there, so you can kind of pretend like you know Spanish, and you can sing them, many of the songs, it's songs we know. So whether you can translate every word in the moment, you kind of are going through the English words as you go. So that was a really enjoyable part. And then also they do scripture reading, whatever passage Pastor David is speaking from, and they take a turn and each read a verse. So that we could also participate in because we at least know how to pronounce the words in Spanish. So that was another way we could kind of feel a part of things, at least a little bit. There was also prayer meetings on Wednesday night. And then the second week that we were there, it was also the mid-year fellowship for the Chile field. So that is all the Gospel Mission of South America missionaries that are on the Chile field that live in Chile. Every year meet together in a different location. This year it was in Arica, one of the reasons being because we were there. And so that was enjoyable. So you'll see in that picture maybe some other familiar faces, Mark and Becca Perry. There's Danny and Becca Vallette, who serve in Santiago area in camp ministry. And so they were able to come to prayer meeting, meet the believers there. And then afterwards, we had some fellowship, some Jets pizza, actually, and some other goodies. So that was a real blessing. Yes, on the left side there, sitting next to Danny and Becca. So you guys know him very well. What's that? On the very edge, kind of halfway up of the picture, yep. Yep, that is Terry Thompson. I have a few more pictures here. So there's Terry again and his wife, Carol, and then Mark and Becca, and then myself, and then going around the table, Kaylee, and then Becca and Danny Vallette, Curtis and Diane Stewart, and then Christy, and then Lucas there on the bottom. While we were there that second week, a family from the church in Antofa came up to kind of just help during the mid-year provide the meals and things like that, cook in the kitchen. And so Adderley and Clara got to know Javi and Sami, their son. And Adderley learned a little Spanish because of Javi, and Javi learned a little English because of Adderley. So that was fun to watch. They really connected, enjoyed their time together, and a real blessing. It was one of the highlights of that week was being able to sit down. They have a couple meetings throughout the week, a book discussion, and then they did a Q&A because we were there, and we were the ones asking the questions. And so that was enjoyable, just asking them about their ministry experience. David had kind of some pre-planned questions, and one of them was, what was your first term like on the field? And that was just really a blessing to hear answers to prayer, but also even hear challenges to know, okay, these people who we kind of idolize that seem heroes to us went through some of the same struggles. And Carol Thompson, who, you may think, oh, man, she has it all together. She told a story of how she, pretty much told Terry, we're leaving the field. When we go back to the States after our first term, we are not coming back. And the Lord worked in her heart, and things worked together for good. And they had many more decades of ministry and still are serving there. And so that was just really encouraging to hear that, reassuring that, the Lord will hold us fast, during those years, and people are there to encourage us along the way. So a nice time of fellowship that second week with the other missionaries. Mark and Becca, I think I'm free to say this now because it's been shared. They will be coming back to the States in November and taking a pastorate in Maine. And so those plans changed a little bit. I'm not going to discuss that much, but they feel that the Lord's called them there. And so that does leave a little bit of a hole for David and Christy because they were going to join them, but that's where we're praying that the Lord will send us there very quickly as he will, so that we can kind of fill that gap and be there to help as a team. I love that picture on the bottom left of Terry just playing with our girls. He probably sat there for an hour with them and playing Play-Doh with the grandkids, as it were. This is a picture of then the Chile field, the missionaries, including us who are kind of appointees at this point. But wonderful time with them. To give you a little bit of idea of the need for laborers, I even hate to say this, but starting on the right to the left, so Terry and Carol, they will be retiring in the next few years. So their missionaries are going to be leaving the Chile field in the next 5 years, if less. Mark and Becca are leaving this year. So that's another couple gone. Daryl and Erlyn Thompson, to Mark and Becca's left, they are also retiring soon. Curtis and Diane are retiring in the next 2 years, I believe, which leaves David and Christy and ourselves. So there is a real need in the coming years for missionaries, a younger generation. Thankfully, those churches that they are working in are you know, churches that are pretty solid, that have national leadership. So it's not like they're leaving necessarily a work undone, but there's just a great need for new missionaries to go to the field. So I thought it important to show that to you, saying that, you know, we're going, but there's many that are leaving even before we get there. So that leaves, so Eureka there in the top left, you know, that means all those cities below are not going to have, you know, GMSA missionaries in the next 5 years. Again, that's not the end of the world, because there's churches that have been planted who should be reproducing themselves and not reliant on GMSA missionaries, but there's still a need. Pastor. I don't know. Yeah. I think so. I think that's true. Maybe like 68 or 69. Yep. Yep. The blessing, though, is that there is a family, a Chilean family, Hans and Jenny, and their three daughters, who are from southern Chile, who have reached out to David and Christy, this is now more than a year, maybe 2 years ago, and say, hey, we want to move to Arica. He has been a pastor, he's not currently, but he wants to come up, he wants to be a part of the team, and that is a real blessing, because that means potentially in the next few years, we will have someone there, a family who could potentially be handed the church over to as leadership amongst any other leaders that are raised up in that church. And so that's what we're praying for, is, you know, not for missionaries to stay in one place forever, but for nationals to come up to the call, you know, to be to have a desire to be serving the Lord in ministry. And they're kind of moving there by faith, meaning, you know, he's going to find a job there, but the church is not in a position. It's not really even a church yet. I mean, there's meetings, there's services, but they're not in a place to support this family. So they're coming in faith, going to find a job, live there, and just be a part of the church, be members there. It's not like he's even being the pastor immediately. They're just there to be a faithful family, be a part of the ministry, you know, probably, yes, help with teaching here and there. But that's just a real blessing. I know that's an encouragement to David and Christy right now to have kind of somewhat of teammates, you know, in the next year. They're planning to move there next March, Lord willing. All right, I'm going to save this for, well, probably not today. I want Kaylee to come just for a moment and give a brief testimony. And then if you want to go over time a little bit, we'll leave it for Q&A if you're of that mind.
So it was a blessing both at candidate school and while we were in Chile to have opportunities to talk with missionaries, because I had lots and lots of questions to ask, like, how do you balance ministering to your family and the needs on the field, or what do you do for schooling, or what things do you bring with you or prioritize to bring with you? I just had lots of questions. So at both places, I had the opportunity to talk with a lot of missionaries, and down in Chile, too, because they were having that mid-year meeting with the missionaries from Chile. So that was a blessing, and got to have a lot of questions answered. And another thing is just the on the survey trip, David and Christy Flink were very intentional, just pointing things out to us as we would drive around the city and say, this is, you know, this area of town, this happened here, or just they know a lot about the city and different things as they've already thought about, if when you guys move here, if you guys rent for your first year, this might be an apartment complex that you might want to consider, and just looking at the details of that. So having taken a short-term missions trip, going to a foreign country, you think about, I don't know, observe these different cultural differences and everything. But then when you go there with the intention of moving there eventually, it's a completely different mindset. Everything becomes personalized. And so that's really what I appreciate about this trip, and David and Christy just intentionally telling us things that were very personal to our family. And you have a growing family, you might want to consider this. And so that was just very, very helpful to me. And there was a lot of, you know, just little highlights in the market that you showed. That was just, there's a conversion between pesos and dollars, but you could get like 3 red peppers for like 50 cents. And so it's like, whoa, this is great. And just the amount of produce, and it was all fresh and local and everything. And so that was just kind of exciting for me to see. And the girls loved just some of the, I don't know, the ocean there and the food. They didn't seem to mind. They seemed to eat quite a bit while we were there. But one thing that I noticed is I just had this increasing burden to learn the language. And you realize that that is such a need, because you try and have a conversation with someone there, and no, I'm not really sharing the gospel with the people that I'm meeting at the church there, but I can't even encourage them there. My time there with them, and I know that they might be going through a hard time, but I could maybe talk to them, but I can't understand what they're saying. They talk too fast. They slur it all together. And I could ask them a question, but I'm not going to understand their answer. So it just gave me an increasing burden to learn the language and to learn it well. And Lord willing, we will have the time in language school to do that. But so that's just kind of some of the takeaways that I had from this trip.
Are there any few quick questions? I don't have to turn that on anymore. I don't really need it, but yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. Our philosophy is that we are going to give the gospel to anyone who will listen. And so whether it's Catholics, Mormons, agnostics, atheists, you know, we want to share the true gospel of Christ to them. So the churches you find there are very diverse, especially here. I mean, diverse ethnically, with Peruvians and Bolivians, some Colombians, of course, Chileans. But we have some from the background of a Pentecostal church or Catholic. So we're not focusing on a particular target, except that, you know, we're ministering to those who live there. You know, of course, there probably are some expats there, people from the States. We're not avoiding them. There's just not that many there. But, you know, we would also minister to them if they're living there, or even just there temporarily and want a good church to attend. So does that answer your question? Okay. Yeah, I mean, the particular people that we met, again, because of the language barrier, of course, I had some conversations with David to try to figure out more about them, but I don't know all of their backgrounds. I think some of them grew up in, one or two at least grew up going to church, a decent church, good church, and so, you know, they've been believers for a while. Others are probably, yes, coming out of a nominally Catholic background, and some that actually are attending that are not believers would be more atheistic, that work at the university there, so really no religious background, per se. So we can talk more about that later, but that's my cut at it right now. Any other questions? And feel free to talk to us later today or next week, or you don't have to answer them all now. I'll take one more, let's say that, if someone else has a question. There is a Muslim presence. I did not particularly view it while we were there. My guess would congregate maybe toward the larger cities, Santiago, but not like we have, you know, in Dearborn or somewhere near here. Much smaller presence. All right, we're going to finish there. And Pastor Matt, would you like to close in prayer?
Can I have that? Father in heaven, thank you so much for the blessing to hear this report. And we can see the evident hand of God in the lives of Jansen and Kaylee and their children, and how you have fashioned them and formed them, prepared them, and even in these last 4 or 5 weeks, changed them in preparation for the work that we believe you've called them to, and we want to thank you for all of that. Thank you for this clear report, for the philosophy of ministry that's been presented to us, for the knowledge gained here just at the beginning of first steps toward the field. And we pray your richest blessing on these two and their children. And Lord, we pray for the people of Arica, all of them, that, Lord, the gospel will have free course and be glorified, that it will run to its destination, that you would prepare supporters quickly for Jansen and Kaylee's family, that they'd be able to get to language school next fall, if you'd be pleased, and then to the field very soon after that, and be ready to begin their first term of service there on the field. We thank you for all of this. Thank you for Fellowship Bible Church and for the ability you've given us to participate in this kind of ministry. In Jesus' name we give you thanks and praise. Amen.